pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we continue what is a very busy week. Coming up on the program today, Sean Callahan from HuskersIllustrated.com is going to join us. Also, Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World Herald will join us a little bit later to talk high school football as the state playoffs begin on a Thursday, the championships. And we are scheduled to be joined by the new head volleyball coach at Hastings College coming up as well. Tomorrow, jam-packed, we are giving things away. On the show tomorrow, we're giving away the Turkey of the Week, which we have nominations for already. Sorry, Bob Jensen. Also our Sun Eat system. And tomorrow we will be selecting the Nebraska-Colorado weekend getaway winner and announcing it here on the show. I have been informed that the tickets are safe in a mason jar underneath the porch at Derek's house. The winner will be announced tomorrow for the giveaway with Rich & Sons camper sale. So all that tomorrow, plus Mark Bauer talks a little wrestling. We will talk with the Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Preview. And also tomorrow, Mike Spears, the head football coach at Howells, as they get ready to take on Axtell, is going to join us on the show. So we've got a lot of stuff and coming up on the program today, a few more things. But, Daddy, one thing that we've just been so jam-packed, and I see the note finally has uncovered itself from my pile of crap here on the studio desk. A happy belated anniversary to you. 30 years. Did you realize what turned 30 last week? Last week, it's 30th birthday. 30th anniversary, but 30 birthday, 30 anniversary, it's the same thing.
No.
What turned 30 last week?
I know.
It is a product. It is a beverage. Coors Light turned 30 last week.
Really?
How old are you?
I'm 34, excuse me. So I switched it up this summer. Yeah, 34. So I was 4 when Coors Light was born. Really?
Red beer!
Did you have some in your bottle?
I must have.
Did it start then? Were you the testing baby? I heard you were kind of the test baby.
No, I was not the test baby.
No? Okay. Well, I just wanted you to know that, you know, a lot of people thinking of you as Coors Light turned 30 last week.
That's good. That's good. Doug, I want to jump in and make sure. No, the first thing we did when I came in this morning, obviously, as I look in here and Derek is all dressed up, and I'm like, which is great. It doesn't happen very often. And I'm like, what happened? And he informed me that his wife had to get him off the ledge, and then she took him in.
Thought he was going to a funeral.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to Ryan Lindell's funeral today. I'm sure someone's killed him in Buffalo already, so I was going to attend that.
Wide right.
Well, here's the deal, though. Here's the deal. Another pet peeve of mine. Yay, you made a 56-yard field goal. Great job. What was Buffalo doing? Quit relying on your kicker. It's their own fault. I mean, outside of the shoddy play, and I got something else I want to get to. Outside of the shoddy play of the Bills, still had a chance to win, but they just lay down on the football over the last minute of the game. They hit the tight end right on the first play, big play, move the ball down the field. You are a professional football team. They know you're going to run the football. Do something besides running it between the guards. Try to get a little yardage. Get your kicker set up. Wouldn't you rather have a 20-yard field goal than what they were doing? If they would have got nothing, I mean, they were 51 yards out.
Into the wind.
What the hell were they doing? And this is a pet peeve at every level. you know what? Once out of 100, somebody's going to throw a pick, and you are going to get criticized up and down. What are you doing? You would have had a 48-yard field goal. You know what? I'll take the chance. Give me a chance to win the football game. Don't give me a chance to set up for a 50-yard field goal into the wind with a temperature of 28 degrees as you kick that concrete block.
So I guess I would come back, Douglas, and say, you totally agree with the Browns throwing the ball twice on second and third down, both which incomplete passes, which stopped the clock. When cheering for the Browns last night, I'm saying, run the ball, get the 40 seconds off the clock. That's another minute 20 gone. Let's go. And instead, they throw two incomplete passes, thus giving Buffalo the ball back with time, which I didn't understand.
But 56 yards, that's a long field goal. They theoretically needed another first down.
And he hammered that ball through. No doubt, right down the middle. Great kick and, great, great finish to a ball game. But Trent Edwards, Derek, the interceptions, and right away you said they came out in that spread. You thought, did you think that was good, or did you just shake your head and say, uh-oh?
Yeah, I don't know. He's obviously horrible play in the first quarter. The first interception wasn't his fault, obviously tipped at the line, but the other ones were horrific plays. I actually felt halfway decent about where Buffalo was after the first quarter and even at half because, and as much as people want to say today, oh, the Browns got the win. We knew they were going to win. You get 6 points in the first quarter off three turnovers, and you end up with good field position on all of them. I don't think that's not very good efficiency by the Browns, but I digress. I like where Buffalo was at halftime, but the second half, like you said, and Doug said, it's just, I don't understand Dick Geron's strategy towards the end of the game. And Ryan Lindell just misses a kick. Obviously not an easy kick, but. Nonetheless.
Marshawn Lynch last night looked like a man possessed
to me. That was his best game by far last night. And the 1-2 punch of Jackson and Lynch was working outside of Jackson's fumbles, obviously, but
yeah, just when it looked like they could probably seize the momentum in the game, the ball pops loose and then Cleveland's able to go down and
brutal. I want to take geekdom to the next level. As somehow
geekdom, I gotta write down that word.
As Ryan Lindell
goes right next to El Squadole.
Geeked him. Ryan Lindell and Marshawn Lynch. Did they have great games last night? Marshawn caught the ball a lot and had a touchdown.
Yeah, Marshawn.
Get into the end zone, yeah. By the way. Don't fall at the one a-hole.
I don't know. And did anyone else notice that Jaworski kept on poking at Marshawn, saying, in the NFL, you just need to get that 4- and 5-yard run on a consistent basis. He was saying that sometimes Marshawn looks a little too much for the extra holes for the big run. And I started watching for that after that fact a little more closely. And I think he does. I mean, there's some holes that he could hit where he tries to bounce it outside. Maybe he tries to get to the corner when he shouldn't. He should just cram it in there and pick up a couple yards inside. But nonetheless, he had a pretty good game. So
here's your bad beat fantasy of the week. I've got a 30-point lead going into last night against Trent Edwards and Marshawn Lynch. So I was pretty sure as soon as they hooked up for that first touchdown, I was screwed. But remember, at that time, Trent Edwards, I went and looked at that exact moment. He had 111 yards or 110 yards passing,
two picks,
three interceptions, and a touchdown. 10 points. How the hell does he have 10 points? He's got 100 yards passing and three picks. He should have less than the 6 he got for the touchdown, yet he's got 10. The commissioner will be hearing from me, and not of the more taste league either, also stupid. The commish will be hearing from me. So I knew at that point I had no chance. If you get points for sucking, then I got no chance. So anyway, there you go.
So how bad did you lose then?
12 points.
Oh, wasn't one of those 1 point came down in the final.
No, Marvin Harrison on my bench. Anyway, the turkey of the week. God, there was something else. It was just, did you watch the whole game? Did you watch and listen? Did you listen? Were you in a loud, were you at the coop? Were you just going crazy? Were you there watching the game? Were you at another great establishment just going crazy? Maybe you were enjoying a beverage at Cunningham's. And you were just going crazy getting qualified for the Rocky Mountain Mile High giveaway. Say, no. Sign my name, another Coors Light.
No.
Happy 30th anniversary. Okay, so did you listen, though?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I am going to have to start getting on the bandwagon. I'm putting him on probation right now. Tony Kornheiser has got to get better because he is hurting the broadcast. Not helping him, Tony. You're just hurting him. I mean, they were trying to get through an exciting last 2 minutes of the game, and he's babbling on about whatever. I mean, does anybody else get on? People have been saying they don't like Kornheiser on Monday Night Football.
I've been on for a year and a half.
I'm saying, you know, whatever. He's the third guy in the booth. It's on ESPN. Let them do what they want. Last night, he got to me. And I seriously, didn't matter. Cleveland, Buffalo, didn't matter. But, I mean, he's just, I mean, you could tell that there's times Tirico just stops. He doesn't respond because he has no clue what to say. He has no clue. There's no chemistry in that booth right now. People want to watch, and now we're informed that the BCS is coming to ESPN. Better get your announcing tandem upright. You better have the right guys. You better have the right guys.
Did you think that was a little ridiculous? $125 million annually? $125 million?
Whatever. They think that they're going to be a playoff. They think now that they can control college football and maybe get a playoff and make a whole lot of money. Turkey of the Week nominees. This comes from Fat Man from the Y. He has multiple Turkey of the Week nominees, but all one subject. The Turkey of the Week, maybe the year, should go to Bob Jensen and the really bright one who said there was nobody in the West, Daddy, that could stop the greatest team to put on pads. And also the people who ranked them number four in the nation, McCook. Aurora 37, McCook 33. Who's the turkey now?
By the way, USA Today, I turn to that page right now, Midwest rankings. McCook no longer in the Midwest rankings. They have dropped them all the way out.
Okay. That's too bad. That's too bad. I mean, they're not supposed to be the butt of a joke on this program, but, you know, something went wrong there. And congratulations to Aurora. They're playing Friday in the championship. Let's go to the phone lines at 1-888-455-ESPN.
Matthew from Kearney on the line with a comment about Kornheiser here.
Matt, good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I think the thing is with Tony Kornheiser, I was checking his bio online. He's like 113 years old. I think he just dozed off and woke up and forgot where he was and just rambled.
Matt, that's good stuff. Thanks for the call. Wow.
You got another turkey?
No. This comes from Eric, who says, is there any way that the online listeners can get registered for the Bronco game? So you have to either go to Cunningham's and register, or you have to get our trivia question right.
No.
Yeah, I guess really there isn't. Yeah, that's one bad thing about the streaming. Sorry, Eric, because even if we threw up an email contest, email trivia, there's no guarantee that if you had it first, that it would be here first. So, but we've got plenty of other things. Eric, you can weigh in on the hot topic of the day, the turkey of the day. We got free stuff. We're giving away tons of stuff. We're letting everybody in. By the way, scheduling conflict, but we can tell you that Hastings College has named Ron Alexander their new head volleyball coach. Just got a note from the fine folks at Hastings. We were scheduled to have Ron. Evidently, Ron, not quite aware of that, but has a meeting with his realtor about a house at this exact time, which will take him over the lunch hour. And so we will not be able to catch up with Ron today on the Doug and Daddy Show. So we apologize for that. But Alexander, who will also have the rank of instructor, coach volleyball in various capacities for the past 20 years, head volleyball coach at Northern Colorado Greeley, 2002 to 2005, going 88-14. He coached a Division II Player of the Year, 3 All-Americans, 3 Academic All-Americans, and 4 Academic All-Conference athletes, leading them to the number 2 national ranking in 2002 when they went 31-3, Conference and Regional Coach of the Year, had a 26-match winning streak in 2003. He was the head volleyball coach at Fort Morgan High School from 1988 to 2000. So Ron Alexander, the new head volleyball coach at Hastings College. Of course, Fred Aubuchon stepped down earlier this year. Their current coach is an interim coach, and now Ron Alexander is going to take over the program.
Sounds like a quality hire, and 31-3, second What was that, Division II? That was not Division, that was a high.
Division II, yeah. Jen Comfort, by the way, the coach in the interim. So we hope to catch up with Ron here in the near future, and when we do, we'll bring that to you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll take a break when we come back. Husker football talk with Sean Callahan right after this.
It was just last week when a Doug and Daddy listener was overheard making this remark.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Guess that about sums it up.
First Bank and Trust.
You're the reason we do what we do. Everything we are begins with you.
First Bank and Trust.
You can count on us.
You're the one we're working for. Come on over, you get more. We are here for you. First Bank and Trust.
You can count on us.
First Bank and
First Bank and Trust, Cozad, Clay Center, and Eustace.
Don't pay too much for your next pre-owned vehicle. Carney Auto Sales on East Highway 30 has earned a reputation for selling quality vehicles at prices you can afford. Carney Auto offers a great selection of quality cars, vans, SUVs, and pickups. And you can buy here and pay here, too. Need a rental car? Call Carney Auto and pay just $19.95 a day. Get the most for your money at Carney Auto, East Highway 30. Open weekdays till 6 and Saturday till 4. Hey guys, who said jewelry was just for women? Just look down at your wrist and tell me what's there. And everyone knows it's your responsibility to find her the ring that'll make her eyes sparkle and her finger dazzle. And that's why Hawthorne Jewelry and Kearney wants you to know about their beach party sale on November 25th from 5 to 9. It gives you 4 hours to change her life forever. And make your way to the treasure chest for savings of 30, 40, or even 50% off anything in the store. Now's the perfect time to buy at Hawthorne Jewelry, downtown on the Bricks.
The most recommended, by far, Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended, Eustace Body Shop. That's who we are.
The best opinions on the hot topics will qualify for a Sun Heat Systems energy-efficient space heater. And we're giving away one a week for 10 weeks. Listen to Doug and Daddy weekdays 11 to noon. Your Sun Heat Systems hot topic opinion might lower your heating bills by hundreds of dollars. Brought to you by Sun Heat Systems and ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
Now here's a real eye-opener for you. Lind Eye Care of Kearney is moving. That's right. As of October 15th, their new location will be at 4107 7th Avenue. At Lind Eye Care, you can count on Dr. Lind and Dr. Bierbauer to take care of all of your vision needs, whether it's new contacts or LASIK surgery. At Lind Eye Care, they'll treat your eyes as if they were treating their own. Plan now to visit Lind Eye Care in their new location at 4107 7th Avenue, beginning on October 15th.
This afternoon's forecast will have partly to mostly sunny skies, breezy south winds as well at around 10 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a mild high temperature rebounding in the middle 50s. For tonight, mostly clear skies, west winds developing and diminishing to around 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overnight low temperature near 35 degrees. Currently 39.
I'm back, Doug and Daddy Show. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, remember, the best opinion on hot topics qualify for that Sun Heat Systems energy-efficient space heater. We're giving away one every week, people. This is a wonderful, wonderful product. Your Sun Heat Systems hot topic opinion might lower your heating bills by the hundreds. So listen here, and plenty of opportunities yet the next 2 days, because obviously with a shortened week, we are not here on Thursday and Friday, as you will be hearing live the state football finals, all six classes, right here on ESPN 1460 and ESPN 1550. So you've got a day and a half, basically. You've got about 24 and a half hours.
How do they do that, Tony?
Well, you just send us an email, you send us a call, you just chime in on what you think a hot topic would be. We visit about it a little bit, and we think, damn, that was a good thought. And then we give you a space heater.
Now, it has to be a hot topic. It has to be the high school football playoffs, the new coach at Hastings College, Husker football. You know, don't be sending us, I mean, like Sean Callahan's social life. Not a hot topic. It's not really a hot topic. I mean, who wants to talk about that?
Well, we do, but probably not on the air. But wow. Sean Callahan joins us right now. Sean, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, guys. Yeah, I don't know if that's a hot topic for your show, but I think Tony's social life, we all know that's a hot topic.
We need more than an hour to get through that. Sean, bye week. What do you do on a bye week, buddy?
Well, you know, it was kind of nice yesterday having a day off, my first Monday off. I can't even tell you when the last time I had a Monday off, but I still worked, but no practice to go to. It's like I didn't count that as a day off for me. But Nebraska will practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so there'll still be plenty of work to do. And then, you know, the high school state championships on Friday, I'll be down there at the Class A game, Millard West versus Millard South. So there's always work to do. There's never really such a thing as a week off during football season.
Sean, what about for – is it just A, or are there some other for the state finals this week? I know the kid from Aurora will be there. Are there some kids that the general fan should be looking at that already are or may be considering the Huskers?
Well, you know, you look in the Class A game, Andre Tossison came into the year as the most high-profile kid in the state. He hasn't played to the level of expectation people thought, but he's coming on now. You know, the knee injury that kept him out his entire junior year of all sports has slowed him down. I think he's kind of stepped it up another level. A kid named Jordan Hale is pretty good for them. He's probably a walk-on candidate for Nebraska. Millard South has a junior quarterback named Bronson Marsh. Potential Division I quarterback prospect. You know, then you mentioned Andrew Rodriguez from Aurora. On the other side of the ball, there's three pretty good prospects for Beatrice. You've got a kid named Jesse Hines, big 6'4", 6'5", lineman that's only a junior for Beatrice. Then Justin Coleman is a pretty skilled player. I would say he's a top-notch Division II recruit, maybe could be a Division I walk-on, as can their fullback, a linebacker named Garrett Bruin. So there'll be some pretty good talent in those A and B games. In general, though, guys, it has been a down year in terms of this bell cow Division I prospects that we've maybe seen the last few years across the state.
Sean Callahan joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean, I guess as far as the Huskers are concerned, they get a chance to have a couple days off. You're going to get their legs back under them. How important was that as they head into this Colorado game?
Well, you know, you look at the offensive line particularly, they were down to five linemen in that game against Kansas State. You know, Keith Williams is out with an ankle injury. Lyndon Murth had a foot injury. Javario Burks had a toe injury. So they were down a lot of guys for that game, and they were left with just two tackles, two guards, and really a center to play. And they didn't have a strong backup core behind them like they've had all year. So getting those guys back will be good for this Colorado game. I think more than lucky can get himself back up to 100%. The toe injury has slowed him down, but thankfully guys like Roy Helu and Quentin Castile have been playing the way they've been playing, and we haven't seen, you know, that be a problem with Lucky not being 100% the last few games. So that will be big on offense. Defensively, Ty Steinkuhler, I think his back started to really kind of give him problems. We thought that was going to be something all year that would hurt him. It hasn't been a problem. Well, this bye week came at a perfect time for him. He should get his back up to 100%, I think, for this Colorado game.
Sean, you mentioned some of the depleted spots and having to go deep. Matt May out of Imperial was a kid that was brought into the fold this weekend. And it seems you can go two directions with this, I guess. But is it peculiar that when the coaches have to find somebody to play, it's one of those smaller school, Nebraska-bred Husker players? I mean, we've already talked about Lance Thorell. Tyler Wertman came in at the beginning of the year. Now you got Matt May. There's probably you've got the Kohler kid out of Harvard that came in and got a safety earlier this year. What does that exactly mean for the Husker program when you got kids that can step up, yet it is kids from smaller school in Nebraska that have to do that job?
Well, you know, it's just a great, great thing for the program, and it lets kids know all corners of the state, you know, there's still a chance that they can play for this program and be a contributor. But, you know, I've said it since Matt May was in high school. He would have been a Division I player if he would have been somewhere else in the state. You know, Ohio was close to offering him. UNO had him ranked as their number one defensive back prospect. He was a big-time player. It's just the fact that he lived in the Mountain Time Zone. It was kind of hard to get out there to see him in Imperial. And he was you know, he ran a 48-second 400-meter dash at a kid that weighed over 200 pounds. So he could run And it's not a surprise to me. I knew from the minute that kid walked on, he was going to be a player for Nebraska. I guess maybe not this quickly, but it was good to see him step in and make plays, because that's what he's done. Anyone that saw that kid play knew he was going to be a special one. In fact, the coach at Imperial said in the 30 years he's been at the program, that was the best player prospect they've ever had in his time there.
Sean, you brought up the offensive line and getting people back healthy earlier. It seems like Joe Gans has had more time to throw. Does that speak to them developing a little bit of a continuity up there, becoming familiar with one another, or is it maybe a little step down in competition they're facing? But what's allowed them to become, well, one of the strengths of this team?
Well, teams haven't been bringing a lot of blitzes at them, and the line has done a good job of holding off the front four. When they have blitzed, I think the running backs have picked it up nicely, but yeah, he's had time, and that's when Joe's at his best, when he can just sit back there and make his reads. And he's so good at, you know, going on to a second, third, and fourth progressions, and that's not easy for a quarterback to do when your first read's not open, the one that you typically want to go with. Joe can go to two to three, even down to the check down at four or five, as good as anyone we've seen at Nebraska, and you know, that's why this offense has clicked. When, you know, those main options aren't there, Joe still finds a way to make a play when the defense may have that play covered.
Sean Callahan joined us here. Where are the coaches headed this week? Most of the assistants are out. How crucial is this next few days as the coaches are out recruiting?
Well, it's big. You know, it's not in-home visit season or anything like that quite yet, where they're doing in-homes and those types of things. But I think it's more big for your next year recruiting, because you're able to get some pretty good information on junior players. You know, right now, you've got a good read on all the seniors out there. I mean, you might find a couple here and there, but, you know, what you're doing now, I think, is also getting your 2010 information in order, saying, okay, check up at these schools. They also have these guys that we want to start recruiting for next year. Let's make a move on this guy or that guy. You know, you can offer juniors, obviously, right now. So I think that's something that they'll do, on top of obviously trying to follow up on some of the top 2009 guys are still recruiting.
Sean, have you talked to any of those guys trying to stop Sue when he blocks them on those goal line situations?
Man.
I just said that it cannot be fun for anybody. He gets so low and just blows people up.
I think that would be that would be like your old high school formation, right, Tony? You'd come in as a fullback.
Yeah.
I wanted no part of hitting anybody, buddy.
Yeah.
The big daddy formation.
Yeah, as soon as Sue came at daddy, he'd olay it and go, come on through, big fella. Come on through. That has to be fun, though, to have a little wrinkle like that. Things like that work seem to always get a team a little more fired up.
And Sue is so intelligent and smart. You know, he's picked it up, and that formation has been flawless. There hasn't really been a mistake or any kind of hiccup with that formation. And they've run it quite a bit now, you know, dating back to the Oklahoma game. And to have wrinkles where Sue can actually go out as a receiver and catch a ball, and I mean, it just makes a defensive coordinator really scratch his head, because you can't just say, okay, they're going to go up the middle here every time. I mean, they've been able to show that they can go a lot of different directions out of that formation.
Sean Callahan of HuskersIllustrated.com is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bye week. Huskers play Colorado next Friday on Thanksgiving. What happened to Colorado? They were pegged by many to maybe be the most improved team in the conference, and that sure hasn't happened. What should Nebraska expect next week?
Well, you know, I was out in Boulder for the West Virginia game when they played on that Thursday night, and they beat West Virginia. I mean, a game really West Virginia probably should have won, and I just think the depth, or I mean, Colorado has a lot of guys, but they don't have the playmakers. I mean, they just didn't have the one or two kids that could really separate themselves in a big game. I mean, Darryl Scott was thought to potentially be that guy, but he's been banged around this year, hasn't really held up physically in the league. They had a real small running back. His name kind of escapes me, but, you know, you knew how, I mean, it was going to take a lot for that kid to be able to hold up physically. They've had inconsistencies at their quarterback. You know, Josh Smith is a decent receiver, but, you know, he's not as good as Nate Swift or Todd Peterson, in my opinion, for Nebraska. And their schedule's been tough, too. I mean, they played Florida State. They played West Virginia. They've played Colorado State. I mean, they've played some tough non-conference games on top of playing a lot of upper echelon teams like Texas in this league.
Sean, I guess when we look ahead to this game, is there a reason for concern, or do you think Nebraska rolls them up?
You know, I think you still have to be a little concerned because Colorado can come into this game saying, you know, we can still win and go to a bowl game. So they always have that. You know, if they were coming in with just four wins, not five, then I would really say this could get ugly because their players won't have much to play for in Lincoln. But Nebraska being at home, senior day, it's going to be very emotional for guys like Joe Gans and Todd Peterson and Zach Potter, Nate Swift, those senior players that have done a lot for this program this season. So I think that alone, that factor, Nebraska will be full of confidence, and they don't want to go out in their final home game with that senior class as a loser.
Sean, everybody's interested in the bowl talk, and it seems like after this last weekend, it's about an 80% go to the Sun Bowl for the Huskers, which would be the first time since Jeff Quinn led the Huskers in for a victory in 1980. Is it the Sun Bowl? And if it's not the Sun Bowl, just kind of reiterate to the fans what the possibilities are.
Well, it's pretty much, I mean, assuming Nebraska beats Colorado, I mean, I would say, yeah, I mean, your safe money is on that Sun Bowl right now. I mean, barring a Notre Dame debacle, or, you know, Missouri winning the Big 12 championship game, that could change things around maybe too. But I would say the Sun Bowl is the spot. The Gator Bowl, you know, has some interest, but the consensus still seems to believe that a 7-5 Notre Dame team is what the Gator Bowl will take, because, you know, they don't want to take that chance of not being able to get the Irish next year. I mean, you assume they'll probably be available to them next year, but you wouldn't want to just assume that and not get Notre Dame next season in the bowl game because maybe they'll be good enough where they can go to the Cotton Bowl or a different bowl. And I think that they feel like the TV rating and the crowd they could get from a Florida State Notre Dame or Florida State or Notre Dame Miami game would be a pretty big draw for that bowl considering the attendance problems they've had. And I don't know, would we get a Doug and Daddy appearance down in El Paso?
Oh, Juarez is lovely this time of year.
We would love that. Can we fit in your luggage?
I don't know about Daddy, but I
can. Gee, thanks. Hey, Sean, who would Nebraska be looking? I want to delve into this a little bit more because on the hoof, you know, you say Sun Bowl, and, you know, that doesn't jack a lot of people up. I know they do a great job down there, and it would be a different place, and it would be in Texas, and all that would be good if the fans go along, and I think they will. What kind of an opponent are you looking at, and how much would it help to be in the Sun Bowl instead of the Gator or the Insight or the Alamo?
Well, you know, I think you're looking at a game. I think you have a better chance of winning the Sun Bowl probably than the Gator Bowl if you played a Florida State or Miami, if you want to get technical in that sense. But you'd be playing Cal, maybe Oregon or Arizona, one of those three teams. I mean, I would say USC and Oregon State look to be, you know, heading to the BCS and the Holiday Bowl unless they get two BCS teams, which could still happen. I would say it looks like one of those three teams. And I think with the way the Pac-10 is bound this year, to me that would be a winnable matchup for Nebraska, a game that they're going to want a lot more than a Pac-10 team is going to want, considering the fact they didn't go to a bowl game last year. So I just think that would be good for them to play in Texas and have a game where I think they're going to be probably favored to win.
Plus, I heard the little prize you get to play in the Sun Bowl is a 54-inch flat-screen TV.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Is that what you get?
Wow. Oh.
No, they sell those at pawn shops. Didn't you hear those are bowl? That's what you get for bowl, going to bowl games?
You know, the Sun Bowl at the media credential check, and they don't do this anymore, but they used to give you a shot of tequila when you got your media credential.
Well, Daddy be there for sure. Sean, one more thing, and this is one of the emails we got in while we were talking to you here. I thought I'd throw it by you. A hot topic is how quick Turner Gill has turned around the Buffalo program. They should be going to a bowl, it would look like. Is his name up there for any of the openings? And piggyback that with who's going to be the next coach at Kansas State. First start with Turner Gill, though.
Well, I think Turner Gill has to be up there. I mean, I don't know what's going on at Kansas State. I mean, they still seem to believe that there is truth to Gary Patterson being involved or Bill Snyder maybe. But I would think that would be a pretty good option if they wanted to get somebody. I think their fear, though, would be if something were to ever happen with Bo Pelini and Nebraska, that Turner Gill would jump ship to Nebraska in a minute, you know, if that opportunity ever came to him. I don't know if Kansas State would want a scenario like that to ever happen to them. I think Syracuse is a potential possibility for Turner Gill. I think they'd be foolish not to get him. Or, you know, they're saying Lane Kiffin's a candidate there, but he has no recruiting ties there. Syracuse is just not a good fit. It's considered a place you can't win at. Well, Turner Gill's done that already. He's won at a place you're not supposed to win at in Buffalo, which is not too far in terms of logistics from Syracuse. So I think that would be a good fit for him if they wanted to go after him. You know, TCU also, I've heard Turner Gill down there with Gary Patterson potentially leaving this year. Maybe that would be a fit for Turner, considering the fact he is from that Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Sean, thanks so much for the time. Take a couple days off this week. You worked so hard this year.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk here soon.
Come watch some D football Thursday so you can hang out with us.
What football?
Class D. You know, that's Thursday, before Friday. Oh,
Embassy Suites or what, guys?
I don't know what you're talking about. We will be working very hard.
Okay.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Full of knowledge, check it out at HuskersIllustrated.com. Only one thing that I will disagree with. I think Nebraska would have a better chance of beating Florida State or Miami than maybe a quicker Oregon team. Now, I'm not sure about Cal. I think this Cal is like the debacle. They're going to be freewheeling, doing whatever they want. Oregon, maybe not. I mean, I don't see the big. I think we would be better served, and I think the odds are the same of beating Florida State as they would be Oregon. Your thoughts?
Well, I just think that the committees would look at us in Florida State as a much more prime matchup than they would a Pac-10 team or a Nebraska-Miami. I think when you're looking at putting a bowl game together, you're looking at filling up the seats.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think that the Pac-10 is going to do that. I don't care what team you put in there.
Well, that's the tie-in. That's the only deal there. But I'm just talking from a competition standpoint for Nebraska and saying who they have a better chance to win and what helps the program a little bit more. I think obviously going to the Gator Bowl would help the program more, getting into Florida. I think we've got some good ties in Texas already, and being in the Big 12, I mean, it's not like we don't go to Texas enough.
They're just in love with Notre Dame.
That's fine. 1-888-455-ESPN. Before we take a break and then talk to Stu Pospisil, this comes from Mark in Minden. We were talking about Tony Kornheiser needing to pay attention to what's going on. Mark says, I agree. Said it when they signed him. He'll be talking about his favorite sandwich during a crucial moment. Mark, thanks so much. You can fire off your emails to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Dent Popper, they've been specializing in paintless dent repairs for years.
Bricks.
That's right. Stop by. Daddy does. Gets a free estimate on the bricks in Kearney. We'll take a break. Stu Pospisil, high school football finals coming up.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell,
Belushi!
OnStar versus that new place. Sure, you can find your way to the places you always go, but what about that new Italian place with the great rigatoni? That new dog park you passed? That new place with a used piano you want to check out? With OnStar turn-by-turn navigation, the simplest and smartest navigation system, just push the blue button and the advisor can help you find that new place, or any place. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations. Turn-by-turn not available in certain areas.
You are LaDainian Tomlinson, star running back for the San Diego Chargers. You had a hard day at work. Your muscles ache and you're hungry. You heat up some Campbell's Chunky Steak and Potato Soup loaded with lean meat protein. Yeah, protein's good. You eat ravenously, thinking about that compliment your boss gave you.
Hey, great run, LT.
You are LaDainian Tomlinson, in more ways than you know. Campbell's Chunky. Fill up on the good stuff.
The foundation of a sound marketing plan begins with an estimated cost of production. In recent weeks, AgWest Commodities has helped dozens of Western Corn Belt producers determine per bushel breakevens for 2009. Let us assist you in determining your next year's cost of production. Give us a call, 866-WE-HEDGE, or email your request through our website, goagwest.com.
You gotta go agwest.com. Go AgWest.
Builders does it best, so you can too.
Builders!
It's Traeger Turkey Week at Builders in Kearney. Wood and smoke come together as we offer free samples of smoked turkey right off our Traeger wood pellet grill. We'll also give away 15 smoked turkeys this Friday, just in time for you to reheat and serve at Thanksgiving. Plus, get a $100 instant rebate when you buy a select Traeger wood pellet grill. All this week at Builders in Kearney, where we do grills best.
Builders does it best.
Hey, Nebraska, we know money's tight.
That's why here at Big O Tires, we're doing our part to save you money.
Through December, all of our premium touring, passenger, and performance tires are 25% off.
That's right, Nebraska. Buy three, get the fourth tire free is back.
We're talking 50 to 70,000 mile premium tires at economy prices.
No games or gimmicks, just a real 25% savings only at Big O Tires.
The hurry, this sale ends soon.
Tires Service Straight Talk. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Camper Food Tickets. It's the day after Thanksgiving pilgrimage to Lincoln for NU Colorado. Sign up as a super fan at ESPNSuperStation.com right now. Brought to you by Rich & Sons Camper Sales, Sun Heat Systems of Nebraska, Bullseye Sports Bar of Hastings, and ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
This afternoon's forecast will have partly to mostly sunny skies, freezing south winds as well at around 10 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a mild high temperature rebounding in the middle 50s. For tonight, mostly clear skies, west winds developing and diminishing to around 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overnight low temperature near 35 degrees. Currently 39.
Does that make me crazy?
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, UNK and Hastings College men and Concordia women play tonight. We're going to give you a chance to win a pair of reserve tickets to tonight's men's and women's doubleheader. And that's coming up here in just a little bit before we wrap things up on the show. So don't forget, we'll be giving away some basketball tickets here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Women at 6 against Concordia, men against Hastings at 8 o'clock. Daddy, you know what they grow in Overton? You know what they breed, they grow, they produce, they mold?
McCarters?
Kickers.
Oh.
Kickers, and that's kind of the same thing. Doan punter Josh Warren, he's a senior from Overton. He is the final GPAC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Congratulations, Josh.
And I know that you know that Overton produces kickers.
Yeah, they're all-state punters of all sorts of... Yeah, great. Stu Pospisil joins us. Stu, how are you?
Good, guys. I thought that was also the conduit for the Browns.
Oh, brother. Hey, Stuart, state championship football coming up, but obviously the big story was McCook going bye-bye last week. No one saw this coming. This was bigger than Alliance knocking out Ogallala. Who would have thunk? And I have to say that that is the upset of probably the whole entire playoffs.
Oh, it's certainly the upset of the season. Jeff Gross emailed me with his final stats, and he said, you know, he just doesn't know what happened to his defense. He said, you know, the offense played well enough to win, and Aurora just took it to him on with its offense. And, you know, I mean, isn't that kind of why we play football and, you know, do everything? It's for upsets like this. And, you know, back east, Millard South taking out Creighton Prep the way it did. But that just shows that maybe I was vindicated a little bit for keeping Millard South ranked all year.
Well, Stu, I guess that Class A seemed to be a fickle mistress all year. Nobody could really figure that out. As you look at that matchup, you kept Millard South there. Is Millard West just clearly the better team?
I don't think so. I think this one's a toss-up. Remember, we're 16-14 the first go-around, and if I remember right, Millard West broke a pass up in the end zone to preserve the win. So, to me, this is a toss-up. And Millard South's offense is a whole lot different than it was back in September. They're running no huddle, and Bronson Marsh is winging the ball around the lot. And they've got two good runners now going, and not only Jordan Hale, but sophomore Trey Sachs.
Stu Pospisil joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I guess we could go down game by game, but overall, your thought, Stu, on the talent level of all the matchups this year compared to maybe the past few years. It looks like there on paper are going to be some mismatches out there, and not all the number ones made it to Lincoln.
No, and, you know, between, you know, just being outplayed or weather or what have you. You know, I think Class B is very interesting now. Beatrice finally gets to Lincoln after all these years and plays an Aurora team that obviously is riding a high. Now, will they let down or, you know, will they continue to ride that momentum? Pierce and Boys Town in C1's very interesting because Pierce has now got Eric Coolmoose playing, I'd say, about 70%. He really limped going after a Shadron receiver trying to run him down. He couldn't do it. But if you give him 10, 15-yard, you know, openings, he's going to, you know, give you a 100-yard game. But Boys Town's speed is so good, and it's the best line that Kevin Cush has had with the Cowboys. So that's a very interesting game. And how about Blue Hill? You know, people were writing them off after Cambridge knocked them off 19-2 in the season opener, and here they come with 11 straight wins, and they know Lincoln probably as well as anybody other than us.
Yeah, they got all crazy and even threw the ball that last game, Stu.
I saw that, but, you know, I also saw that they lost their one of the guys in their quarterback rotation, at least for that game, and how that will play out. But the second guy, what, 5 for 5 and 3 touchdowns? You know, pretty good effort in the clutch, and you know they play Plainview, right?
No, they're playing Bergen. They already beat.
Or Bergen, that's right. Yeah, Bergen. Yeah, they beat Plainview. Bergen, small kids, small fries. So you think they might be in the you know, like the 7th and 8th grade league because they've got a couple kids about 135 doing great things. Kid named Boggs and the quarterback Riley Gross. So I think that's a very interesting matchup. Maybe this is the year that Blue Hill pushes through all the way and holds the big trophy.
Stu, I guess people looked at Howells and fully expected them to be there, but the 9-seed Axtell has made an incredible run throughout these playoffs.
Well, a lot of us thought Axtell was going to be good all along. I think I started them out number 3 in the preseason. And they lost a couple nail-biters early, high-scoring games, and just got outscored at the end, and, you know, they've won, obviously, 9 of their last 10, and I still think Howells is the cream of that crop. And then down in 8-man 2, you've got Ewing that is coming off a basketball title, so a lot of good athletes there against Humphrey St. Francis that took out a Elgin team that was without its leader. Andrew Bauer suffered a season-ending injury the round before, but you know, 1 versus 2, there wasn't much difference there. And, you know, I kind of like St. Francis in that one, having seen them play one game against Lawrence Nelson. And, you know, Gary DeBoer is always got a well-coached team, and St. Francis just destroyed it.
Stu, maybe it's like this every year, but it sure seems like there's a lot more season-ending injuries. I think this year it seems to be skill position people. You know, you mentioned Coolmoose from Pierce, you know, Elm Creek's quarterback and Foster Meyer. And Elgin's quarterback. Is it just this time of year when we all focus on it?
Well, I think there's also a element here of how much more quarterbacks aren't just handing off anymore these days. You know, I mean, if you
Josh
call it the
Crowell.
West Coast, call it the spread, you know, whatever offense teams are running is going through the quarterback a lot more. Look at Miller North. Look how many times Miller North couldn't get its quarterback into the state final because he had been carrying the ball 230 times during the year. You know, with a passer, you're going to, you know, see a lot of dropbacks and a lot of kids out on rollouts. And, you know, the quarterbacks, usually you're putting your best player there now, and especially if he has an arm, and they are subject to a lot more contact than before.
Stu Pospisil joins us here for another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll get to chat with him more in our coverage of all 6 championship games down in Lincoln. All right, Stuart, now that McCook's out of the fray, that was the lock going in. Who's got the best chance going in? I suppose it's Howells, and who do you think's going to have the best game out of all 6 here?
I still think the Class A game is going to be very exciting. I think we're going to see some points scored, but then again, both teams know each other pretty well, you know, and they've got solid defenses. Beatrice Aurora is probably the game I'd pay to see. I think Justin Coleman and Jerry Lobeda are two of the better versatile backs in Class B, and I think you're going to see both towns just turn out in force for that game on Saturday night.
Fair enough, Stu. We look forward to catching up with you in Lincoln to get more of your thoughts.
Sounds good. Have a good week, guys.
Thanks, Stu. One other thing, we didn't have time to touch on it with Stu, and this is always a hot topic. Number of private or parochial schools, you know, your Lutherans, your Catholic schools, you know, whatever, that are in the finals. You realize that only 2 of the 12 football teams and 3 of the 12 volleyball teams this year were parochial schools. What does that say? Does that say that other teams are catching up, that it shouldn't be such a big deal? Maybe they're down a little bit. I think it's interesting. They are not dominating the finals as they have in the past.
Interesting thought. Doug, do you
most of them are.
Now, you go back to the injury situation. You brought up Josh Crowell, and we didn't bring up his name during that.
Somebody's got to do something with his hair, by the way. Saw him at state volleyball. Didn't even recognize the kid.
Yeah. Well, he did get hit in the noodle awful hard. Maybe it grew up. But, I mean, don't you think there's more serious? And I'm not talking about tweaking an ankle. He should be back next week. I'm talking about, you know, collarbones. Or I'm talking about concussions. I'm talking about serious things.
Kids are getting bigger. Tony, kids are getting bigger. That's the bottom line. When you get hit or get fallen on or thrown down the wrong way, it's going to hurt a little bit more. Take a break here on the Doug and Danny Show. We'll be back and wrap things up on his Tuesday edition right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Almost as much fun as watching Fluffy in the dryer.
You don't have to wait any longer. With Walmart's unbeatable prices, you can now upgrade to the phenomenal movie-watching experience of Blu-ray. Vizio HD TVs and Magnavox Blu-ray players have never been more affordable. And James Bond, rated PG-13, is now available on Blu-ray and DVD. So now you can bring Hollywood's biggest movies home in high definition. Save money, live better. Walmart. We will match the price of any local competitor's print ad for an identical product. See store for details.
You've got spam in your email now.
Ho, ho, whoa. The holiday season is coming soon, and with it, the onslaught of email-based spam, viruses, spoofing, phishing, and spyware attacks. Keep your business safe this holiday season by installing a Barracuda Spam Firewall, the world's number one selling anti-spam solution. With no software to install and no per-user fees, it's the simplest, most cost-effective way to stop dreaded holiday spam. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now for your free trial. 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go to barracuda.com.
A camper that sleeps 6, stuffed with food, 4 game tickets, and 3 other best buds. And you're set for ESPN Radio Superstation Superfan Pilgrimage to the Huskers Colorado game.
Don't fret about that, Pilgrim.
A Superfan wins it. So to become a Superfan, log on to ESPNSuperstation.com and click on either the link to the contest details or the Superfan sign-up in the upper left of the webpage. Superfans' names will be broadcast, and you'll have a chance to call and become a finalist. So let's step through that again. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. Become a super fan.
Proceed to step 2.
Keep tuned to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation to hear your name and qualify. The winner gets a weekend with the Sunseeker Camper from Rich & Sons Camper Sales, a supply of tailgate goods from Schroeder Smoke Foods, and 4 NU Colorado tickets. The Superfan Pilgrimage is brought to you by Rich & Sons on South 281 Grand Island, Schroeder Smoke Foods of Shelton, Bullseye Sports Bar on West 2nd in Hastings, Sunheat Systems of Nebraska, and your Central Nebraska ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
This afternoon's forecast will have partly to mostly sunny skies, freezing south winds as well at around 10 to 25 miles an hour. We'll have a mild high temperature rebounding in the middle 50s. For tonight, mostly clear skies, west winds developing and diminishing to around 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overnight low temperature near 35 degrees. Currently 39.
College football tonight, Tony. Can you tell me who's playing?
I'm sure it's another exciting MAC game. Who, like Kent State and Akron?
Kent State and Northern Illinois.
Fair enough.
Where they just have it on so you can text and call in and email, I guess. That's the only, they have like a game, and then that's like secondary to all the other crap they got going on the screen. Hey, we want to give you a chance to win a pair of reserved tickets to tonight's UNK basketball games. The women are playing Concordia at 6. The men are playing Hastings at 8. If you did not win yesterday, then you are eligible today. We're going to take caller number 5 at 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-3776. 1-888-455-3776. Caller 5 gets a pair of reserved tickets to tonight's UNK men's and women's doubleheader going on at the Health and Sports Center. Got an email here from Chris and Holdridge. A little small town rivalry. From Funk to Overton, our kicker could kick your kicker's ass. Talking about Kyle Larson, of course, a native of Funk, against the Overton kickers. You know what? That would be interesting, by the way.
The kicker joke, in case you're new to the show or whatever, is yeah. Jared McCarter was a quarterback and kind of all-state everything.
Andy.
Was all-state everything in deep, whatever, Overton at the state finals. Led him all the way, and then they announced him as the All-State punter in about every publication out there. And it was, well, because of the more ribbon rule, we got to give everybody a ribbon, and they're going to leave some kid out.
He was the captain. He was the athlete.
Yeah, he was a captain. And he was All-State punter. So that's kind
and
of our joke.
8 punts during the year.
Just embarrassing.
Oh, that's unbelievable. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. We do have a winner for our UNK basketball tickets, so thanks for the calls today. By the way, did you see Kyle Larson has already punted as many times this year as he did last year? That's unbelievable. That's right, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia is today. This is Tuesday, isn't it? I don't care. Let's do Troutman's. What do you got? Derek, what do you got? Who was our winner? I've got one for Troutman.
Ben from Kearney. Ben from Kearney.
All right, if you haven't
let's do it on the air.
If you haven't done it in the last, haven't won in the last 2 months, now's your chance. If you have not won in the last 2 months, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 1-888-455. I mean, I already had the trivia question. I just like you, put it under a pile here. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Aaron.
Aaron, here it is. A lot has been made of the first overtime in the National Football League in 6 years between the Bengals and the Eagles. Who were the two teams that played in the last overtime game in the National Football League during the regular season?
The Falcons and the Jets?
No, Aaron, thanks for calling, though. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
Scott from Fullerton.
Scott, thanks for the call. Who were the last two teams to play an overtime game before the Bengals and Eagles did it this Sunday?
The Steelers and the Falcons.
All right. There's our winner all the way up to Fullerton. Scott, hold on. Derek will get your information. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Steelers and Falcons, a 34-34 tie in 2002. Your Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, a $25 gift card to Troutman's. And it's a day like this that you just want to go out and grill and enjoy a great steak or some USDA ground chuck, the best in the Tri-Cities. And congratulations to Scott. He is the winner. UNK basketball, we mentioned it once again. The women were winners. The men lost to UNO last night. The Nebraska women were winners last night. All kinds of awards came out yesterday. Nebraska's Tony McCray, the Big 12 Men's Basketball Rookie of the Week. Joe Gans, the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week in football. Nebraska center Sydney Anderson, Rookie of the Week in volleyball. UNK volleyball team slides from number 5 to number 9 in the rankings. And, Tony, the volleyball team is in this central region. 8 teams in the region. 6 of them are ranked in the nation's top 25, including Wayne State. 24th in the country, 6th in the region. Lopers play Thursday at 5 o'clock.
That's so disappointing. So disappointing to have those teams. And that's Division II. It's all about the logistics of where you're located in the nation. That's what defines it.
Don't forget, we will be giving away our Sun Heat system, our Turkey of the Day, Johnny Casinos, the NU Colorado giveaway. We're giving away stuff all day tomorrow. You can still get registered. Email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. I want to thank Sean Callahan of Huskers Illustrated. I want to thank Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald. Tomorrow, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. Mike Spears, the head coach at Howells, and we'll also catch up with UNK wrestling coach Mark Bauer. It will be packed.
See you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!